Today with Wolf and Luke.
Let's go!
Presented by 72 Sold, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We were watching the highlights of Washington Giants last night. Taylor Heinicke, that's his first win as a starter, but we talked about this yesterday. He almost led Washington past Tampa Bay in the playoffs last year.
He played so well, I have to tell you right now. I was absolutely stunned to watch this young guy, especially when he threw the pick you cannot throw. The pick that seemed to doom the Washington football team. And yet, somehow, some way, he came back, rallied himself, and they won that game. Truly incredible.
For the Cardinals game coming up, we played the clip earlier of Steve Keim, and we've talked about this a lot in the 6 months since he said it, and he has said it a couple times, about how physicality and leadership were the things he instantly identified at the end of last season. I think it wasn't just him. I think it was a lot of people in that organization were like, we need more physicality. We need more leadership.
Totally agree with that.
And now here we are. The way it has worked out, interestingly enough, because you won in week one, you've shown that you're at least capable of playing with that physicality. Now, Wolf, here you go. Here's the second half of it this week. How do you follow up that win in a game that on paper you should win?
Absolutely. What happened to the Arizona Cardinals last year in particular? A lot of people are going to look at the 6-3 start. We've been talking about it all week long. And then suddenly 2-5 over the last seven, including the last two games where you just had to win one of those things to get into the postseason. You couldn't beat a third string quarterback in C.J. Beathard, and you couldn't beat a guy that had never thrown a pass in the NFL. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
That's disappointing.
Very, very disappointing right there. And Kyler Murray has come out and said that we were feeling ourselves. I think they were probably feeling themselves a little bit sooner than that. It didn't take the Hal Murray to actually start feeling yourself at 6-3. I think they did it after two wins. And it's one of the reasons why Steve Keim said, okay, we need to get more. We need to get more leadership into this locker room, and we need to get more physical as well. I just, the fact that he identified those two things in the offseason, and here in the first 2 weeks of the season, those two things that Steve Keim identified are going to be on display for all to see. I mean, the very first game of the season, you're playing one of the more physical teams, if not the most physical offense in the National Football League, and you stuff them. Your physicality was on display for all to see, and that blew my mind. You know it blew my mind. I still can't, when I wake up in the morning and you're barely awake and you don't even know you're awake, and all of a sudden that thought crosses your mind. The Cardinals were more physical than the Titans. That I did not see coming, and yet that's exactly what Steve Keim wanted to do, is get more physical. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about week two. You already showed you're a physical team. Now, can you do it again? Do you know how much that speaks of leadership? How important that is, that you've got great leadership that is in that locker room that allows you to do it again? Because this is who you are? Because this is your culture? Because this is what you do and how you do things? This game coming up is a leadership game. It's not about the physicality anymore. You showed you could be physical. You showed you had the talent to win a game and beat a good team on the road. You showed all that. Can you do it again? Do you know how much leadership has to do with can you do it again?
When you look at last season, and we've heard, like, Kyler Murray earlier this week coming off the win was like, I'm not going to let my offense be complacent after just one game.
Can you do it again?
Well, that's the thing. You have guys on this team. You've got nine captains. They went out and added leadership. They went out and added J.J. Watt specifically. He's not the only leader. Rodney Hudson, some of these other guys that you brought in that already are having an impact as leaders on this team, even though they've only played one game. That's quick. But you already had leadership on this team, too. But how much do you have when you become the team that everybody's looking at? Because we keep going back to those 2 points last season. Week two's done. You beat the Washington football team. You're 2-0. And then, as you pointed out, November 15th, you beat Buffalo with the Hail Mary. You're 6-3. You should make the playoffs at 6-3. But I can at least draw a distinguishing line between those two spots in the sense that You go 6-3, the next week you play Seattle, short week. Kyler Murray definitely got hurt in that game. You lose the game, it was close, you lost. I don't think the Cardinals went into Seattle thinking, oh, we got this. I don't think you ever do that. So I think there were other circumstances that hit them in those final seven games last season, mm-hmm. not excusing it by any means. But I think the games against Detroit and Carolina in weeks 3 and weeks 4 last year are the more inexcusable.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it looks like they let up in those games.
There's no doubt about that. I would agree with what you just said 100%, Luke. I want to be clear on this, though. When I'm talking about can you do it again, listen, do you think playing in the National Football League is hard? Do you think that's hard?
For everybody except Tom Brady, yes. Because he just said it wasn't
okay, for him. All right, you got me right there. You played the trump card. It's very, very difficult to actually go out and play well. And the reason being is because there's another dude who's assigned to you to do the exact opposite of everything you're trying to do. He's assigned to compete against you and try to stop you. And he's a very capable human being. Otherwise, he wouldn't even be in the league. He's very capable. And many times, he's better than you are. And he's just going to... His assignment is to stop you. I can't make that, I can't emphasize that, I should say, enough. It's very difficult to play well every week in the National Football League. But once again, this is where leadership helps you do that. You've got great players. Now, consistently go out and play great. It doesn't always mean you're going to win. It doesn't. But how you play will show up. And if you're ready to play, it will show up early. And that's what I'm looking at. That first quarter, I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see how this team comes out of the tunnel ready to ball. Because it speaks to the leadership they have inside that locker room. You're just walking around saying, oh, you know, this is, hey, listen, we don't need to talk about this. This is who we are. We're just going to go out there and we're going to win this game. And that's, and we always do that, man. You better be walking up on dudes and challenging some dudes that you know might typically be dragging their feet in situations like this. If I'm a leader inside that locker room, I'm walking up and I'm talking about it. I'm making sure everybody understands we're not going to go out there and lay it on. We're not going to go out there and lay down because we're good. And we don't have to try hard to beat teams. We're going to go out there and we're going to ball out because that's who we are. We do it every week. We don't care who we're playing. We don't care if we're favored. We don't care if we're the underdog. We don't care. We're going to go out and ball out every week because that's who we are. And if we don't, it's a blight. It's a blight on our person and on our team. I mean, this game is all about leadership. How the Arizona Cardinals come out and if they look prepared to play, that's going to speak to the leadership on this team, in my opinion.
I have never heard it put quite that way of there's somebody assigned to just follow you around and basically do
there's
the exact
somebody,
opposite.
Exactly.
How funny would that be in real life? Like if we just had somebody assigned to come in here and turn my mic off and play the wrong audio. Jared Carlin, basically.
What if I got up and just started grabbing your mic?
Yeah, that would make it very difficult.
Away from you. Yeah. And you're fighting to get it in front of you, right?
It would make for a great video, but bad radio.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'd bust a bicep. I think I'd tear one. I think it'd fly out my armpit.
But what if that was actually your job? What if the job, you go in there and everything that person's trying to do, just undo what they're doing.
Right. Sit there and try to type a letter to a client or something like that. And somebody else is trying to keep you from typing.
Just blocking your hand.
Can you imagine?
Taking the keyboard and tossing it in the corner.
Oh, my goodness.
It'd be a great commercial, actually.
Just pick up the keyboard.
The keyboard.
The keyboard. Smash somebody in the face.
That should be the name of a segment when we go through the most important Cardinals, the keybirds of the week. Text Red Sea right now to 620-620 and listen for your name today at 135 and 335. You can win a pair. I like it, right? You can win a pair of tickets to the Cardinals home opener Sunday against the Vikings. Plus, one grand prize winner will score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey courtesy of Pristine Auction. That's Red Sea to 620-620 coming up. Does Isaiah Simmons have the mentality of Walter Payton? Here with the Cardinals' second-year player said last night on Big Red Rage. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Soul. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Okay. You got my attention right there.
I feel like when Jesse plays Metallica, it's really just...
But it's a knockoff once again, isn't it?
No, I think this is real.
Is this it?
This is really it, yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, that sounds real.
Is this it right here? Is this the real one? Okay. Just never know. The instrumental stinks.
I feel like Jesse went into your phone and just started pulling stuff off your playlists.
This definitely was on it right here. This one's not bad.
No,
you want to get up for a football game, my young crunk brothers, you want to get jacked up, go ahead and play that. That'll get you going.
Isaiah Simmons. This will get you fired up for the game. Isaiah Simmons was on Big Red Rage last night.
I need it.
Yeah, seriously, maybe I shouldn't play this for you. But you talked to him, so I think you pretty much are aware of everything he said. And you mentioned earlier in the show, and we played the audio, I'll play it again here, the fact that he is so critical of himself, and that is a quality that some of the greatest players in this game have ever had. Here, let's play the clip first.
I've always been like that. Like, my dad, he would always tell me after my games, he would ask me how I thought I played. And, you know, I could have had a really good game, but I'll probably point out all the negative things before I talk about anything positive. And he's like,
goodness.
Sometimes you got to, you know, just enjoy that you played good. And I'm like, yeah.
The oh my goodness is in the audio clip.
I just didn't expect him to say that.
I was waiting for you to say it in studio, completely like unplanned at the same time that you said it.
Luke, I did not expect him to say that right there. You're talking about a man that is incredibly talented. You're talking about a guy that is so skilled. He's so long. He's so athletic. He's so fast. He's. Would you say he's done well? He was drafted number 8 overall by the Arizona Cardinals. He is so incredibly talented. And to hear him say that, you know what? I'm my own harshest critic, and that he nitpicks himself. I did not see that coming.
I'm very happy to A, hear that, and B, see how he played on Sunday, because when they took him, I was one of those people that was like, I can't believe Isaiah Simmons has fallen to them. This is great. I remember saying on the draft coverage that night, we were like 4 or 5 picks in, if Simmons is going to drop to you, Steve Keim's going to rush up to the podium.
Yes.
I think a lot of us were excited for that pick.
Yes.
And with the way last season played out, you couldn't just write the guy off. He wasn't a bust. He got better as the season went on. He didn't play a lot, though, so there were questions about him going into the season. I'm not saying he answered them all by one really good game against Tennessee, but I back to feeling really good about that pick.
Right. When I went out to the Pro Bowl my first year in 1986, I walked into that NFC locker room, and my locker was right next to Walter Payton's. Right next to Walter Payton. I could not even believe. I grew up collecting Walter Payton's cards. As a 12-year-old, he was in the National Football League, and I'm collecting his cards. All the way through 10 years of collecting his cards, 9 years of collecting his cards. And suddenly, I walk into this locker room, and there's Walter Payton, and there's Wolfley right next to Walter Payton.
How'd you pull that off?
I didn't do that. Yeah. They did that. Can I tell you right now how profound that was? That what a frying pan to the face it was when I walked in there. I saw him. I just hugged him. I just grabbed him and started hugging. And he was like, hey, oh, he was so kind. He was so gracious. I mean, I think he knew who I was, but I don't. He certainly didn't know me. I know that much. And you know, he was so, that week I sat there and I just picked his brain. I picked his brain. And all I discovered was Walter Payton was his harshest critic by far and away. It wasn't even close. He was the biggest critic of Walter Payton was Walter Payton. I said, hey, Walter, remember that game you rushed for 150? You had 3 touchdowns? That was awesome. I was like Chris Farley. I was like Chris Farley. That was awesome.
Remember when you were with the Bears?
That was so awesome. I mean, that was me sitting next to him. And he said, yeah, Wolf, yeah, I understand that. But did you see the 3 blocks that I missed in that game as well? And he was dead serious. He was his harshest critic, and that's what I discovered about Walter. He didn't care. He was going to do what he was going to do, number one, and he was his harshest critic. With all that talent, the greatest running back to ever play in the National Football League, in my opinion, and it was because of what he did without the ball. What he did with the ball, everyone could see. But what he did without the ball makes him the best running back in the NFL because he used to bust dudes, pick up blitzing linebackers, and bust them right in the face. You going to tell me that Isaiah Simmons has got that same kind of mentality with all of that talent? Oh, boy. Steve Keim, Arizona Cardinals, Red Sea, rejoice, because you got gold in your hand if that is the case.
Yeah, that would be nice. If he follows that up, if the performance in week one and continues to play a similar way through the rest of the season, and it feels a little more likely. If you know his personality is one to say, yeah, I played four positions. He went on to say he didn't have any mental errors that he knew of. He made plays. He was tackling Derrick Henry. If he can walk out of that game and be like, this is what I should be doing better for next time. Look, maybe it's not the healthiest way for him to live. I mean, I guess you're being critical even when you're, but you can make a great football player if you're going to play that way.
Man, I was blown away. You could tell my response was like, you've got to be kidding me. The fact that he actually said that, and he said a lot of great things as well, man. I'm very, very bullish on Isaiah Simmons and his future.
Well, remember, he didn't have a preseason last year, and so you guys asked him about that last night. You know, what's the difference now that you've had one this year?
Just having the opportunity to really learn everything this preseason has helped me, you know, just go play and not thinking, just reacting. And, you know, I would say that was something that may have slowed me down my first year, but has been something that's been able to really, really benefit me was this preseason this year.
Got one more here from Simmons, too, because he's going to be integral in this part of the game on Sunday. Dalvin Cook is not the train that Derrick Henry is, where he will just steamroll you down the field, but he is one of the best running backs in the NFL. This guy went over 200 yards in the game last year, and the week before he went over 160. I mean, he's dangerous, and Simmons was asked, you know, what do you expect from Dalvin Cook now in week two?
Yeah, definitely different than Henry with, you know, him having, he has a really good jump cut, very twitchy, you know, light on his feet, great balance, can catch the ball out the backfield. So, you know, he brings a lot to the table.
He does bring a lot to the table, and so does Isaiah Simmons. I cannot wait to see how they're going to use him against the Minnesota Vikings and what the Minnesota Vikings are going to do. What are they going to do right there? And how might their offense be a little bit different trying to work with Isaiah Simmons and protect? What kind of plays are they going to run at him or away from him? Because a lot of times in that Tennessee game, when they ran away from Isaiah Simmons, he made great plays on the backside. A lot of times shot the gap as well. So I think the game plan might be more about running at Isaiah Simmons than away from him.
Text us your thoughts on Simmons and the Cardinals defense to the FanDuel text line. It's 620-620 right now. Coming up, is Tom Brady really considering playing until he's 50 years old? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke.
Let's go!
Presented by 72 Sold, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, you know, you've really made it, Wolf, when you are you're on the radio and you're playing clips from the Tommy and Gronky show. But that's where we are at this point. Tommy and Gronky, which, as I can gather, is just sort of a video series for the Buccaneers on their website.
Okay.
So this is what came up. If you can't figure out who Tommy and Gronky are, it's Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. Not Chris Gronkowski, Rob Gronkowski. And this was the conversation this week.
Regrettable.
Seems to be a really hot question lately. Can Tom Brady play till 50? Like 50 years old?
Yeah. 50.
50.
You're 44. That's six more years.
I don't find it so difficult. And plus, in the Florida, it's kind of a retiree state. So I feel like I can play and then just glide into retirement. I think I can. I think it's a yes.
You know, there's a little spin to that question. I think it's Will Giselle let Tom play till 50? That's the real question.
That is a way better question. And in fact, why would they not Google that? I think they should. That was, of course, no. Maybe that answer.
I'm so smart, I'm the Google master.
I'm just kidding.
Now.
I'm sorry, babe. I love you. You would let me. You'd let me do anything as long as I'm happy.
Gronk just called himself the Google master.
Yeah, I think so, right there. Tommy and Gronky. Tom Brady, of course, asking the question himself right there. Can I play until I'm 50? It sounds like he is totally open to that possibility. Of course, barring some type of major setback or injury, I would imagine. It sounds like he's got the desire to play until he's 50 years old. Could he actually do it? I raise your hand. I did this earlier. Raise your hand again if you want to see Tom Brady when he's 50 years old playing quarterback.
No. I can't put my hands any lower.
Stop it. So, Maloney, you did not raise your hand. Was that on purpose? Is you don't want to see Tom Brady play until he's 50 years old.
Aren't you tired of seeing Tom Brady
see,
play?
Okay, see, Maloney's with me on this one.
No.
Nice.
I feel like I've already watched him for 50 years.
He's the GOAT. He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
That's fine.
Don't call him the greatest football player of all time. Just call him the greatest quarterback of all time. I'd love to. Can you imagine a dude who's 50 years old?
No, I can't imagine six more years of it.
Okay, he's not. Listen, it takes a team. It takes a team to win a Super Bowl. Just because Tom Brady is still quarterbacking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I don't expect the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to repeat. I don't expect them.
If he plays till he's 50, he'll do what they did in New England. They won't win this year. They'll win next year. They won't win the year after. They'll win. They'll just win every other year. He'll finish with 10 Super Bowl rings. He'll be 50 years old.
No way. At some point in time, you know, I mean, 9-7.
Not with this team. This team's loaded. This is one of the best teams he's probably ever been on. He threw 40 touchdowns last year. That's the second most of his career. In a single season, the only year he had more was that year he had Randy Moss.
Yeah, I would say this year I agree with you, but after that, all bets are off right now. Listen, you, Jason Light, the general manager for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, did a great job bringing everybody back. Yes, all 22 starters. You know how incredible that is in today's NFL that happened?
That's unheard of.
That's unheard of. That's exactly right, Luke. That's the word to use. Unheard of.
I think that's two words, but I'll take it.
I'm thinking of teachers when I was in fourth grade. That's despicable. That's unheard of. Nobody ever does that around here. Okay, sorry. I digress right now. But to me, after that, in today's NFL, man, it's going to be downhill from that point. And then you're going to have to try to rebuild. This is what it's all about for general managers. Those dynasties, because of having a franchise quarterback that stays in place for decades like Tom Brady, it doesn't happen anymore. It doesn't. Now, if you've got a guy that is on top of his game that is like that, man, it's so much easier to build a team. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So much easier.
But I said this earlier, and I want to get to the Hard Knocks story, but if you told me Brady is 50 this year and let's go see what he can do, that's an interesting story to me. But I don't want to watch it for six more years. I'm done. It's a good movie.
It's a train wreck.
But it's like a really good movie that if he plays till he's 50, it's like a six-hour movie. Like, am I really going to sit through this again?
If he plays till he's 50, Kurt Warner is going to regret the fact he retired.
Yeah, but Kurt Warner has a movie out about him and Tom Brady doesn't. Hard Knocks is going to happen during the season. So in a way, I guess we did sort of guess this yesterday. We knew there was going to be an announcement at halftime. You figure they're not going to announce that they're ending the series that so many people like at halftime of a football game. I did not think, though, when I threw out there, hey, maybe they're just going to do it in season, I didn't think that they were going to air the episodes each week. But I've got the email directly actually from HBO right here that says premiering Wednesday, November 17th. The Emmy-winning series will deliver its signature all-access coverage in real time, following the Colts as they navigate the challenges of an NFL season and battle for a playoff berth. Additional episodes will premiere each Wednesday through the end of the Colts season. So they are filming it in real time, and you know Hard Knocks, one of the best things about that show is they turn it around almost instantly. The production crew is amazing.
I cannot even believe that. How did Frank Reich allow that to happen?
He's probably just finding out.
How did he allow that to Robert Irsay? That's how.
That doesn't surprise me as much. But here's the thing about Hard Knocks normally. When they do it in the offseason, there are a couple teams each year that have some interest in it. Like when the Cardinals did All or Nothing, they've essentially volunteered for that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was different. Didn't air till the season was over, so nobody was stealing any secrets from them.
But absolutely.
You still are giving a lot of access, and you know this. Anybody that covers an NFL team knows this. Like, the NFL is very secretive with their stuff, probably more so than any other sport.
Totally.
But this is a playoff contending team, at least right now. I think most people would say the Colts, they were in the playoffs last year.
Right. Don't worry about it. You know, when November rolls around, November and December, when it really matters, when you've got to make that playoff push, don't worry about it right there. We've got Hard Knocks covering it every week and releasing it to where your opponents can actually watch it and maybe glean some inside information, because after all, that's why you're doing it, right? I mean, it is crazy to me, and I'll tell you why. Acting is crazy. Everybody knows right now, if you're listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When a camera is on and somebody's recording you, how do you act? How do you act? A little bit different. Hopefully, appropriately is how you act as well. You know what? There's a lot of coaches, when the camera's on, all of a sudden, guess what? The pursuit of jobs, that's in their mind. Oh, yeah, you know what? This is going to look good for my next interview. I'm a guy that's up and coming. I'm a guy that could be a head coach. Well, watch what I say here. Suddenly, you're thinking about what you're going to say. You're acting. That's why I hate it. And also, too, you're scouting. Guess what? You're scouting the Colts. You're watching that. Scouts, opposing scouts and coaches, they're going to be watching that to see if they can glean any inside information.
So you're not going to watch this?
That they can use against you. I might actually watch it.
There's no
because
cuts.
Because it's in season.
Yeah.
Because there's no cuts. I like that. I got no problem. Now the drama is on the game. The problem is, to what degree are you going to violate the athletic process?
I'm 100% watching this. I mean, I just watched the Cowboys training camp version. If I'm going to watch that, and I've said on numerous occasions in the past, Hard Knocks, just the job they do is so good that they could do it on almost any sports team. They could do it on a rec league basketball team in Tempe. They do such a good job of it, I'd at least give it a shot. If they're going to do in season on a possible playoff team in the AFC, I'm 100% watching this.
Man, you're talking about Jarrah. Jarrah, I'm surprised, didn't actually stomp for this. I'm surprised, honestly. Well, when the Cowboys do it with Jarrah Jones.
Well, that's what I thought it was going to be. I thought they were just going to extend the Cowboys training camp right in through the season, because they've been on Hard Knocks at least three times at this point.
We're going to try to get Frank Reich on as well. Frank is a friend of mine.
Get through all the cameramen first, because they're going to be surrounding him then. Coming up, what can we expect from Patrick Peterson as he returns to State Farm Stadium on Sunday? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Sold. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Well, on the surface, it's definitely the biggest storyline for this game on Sunday between the Cardinals and the Vikings. It's Patrick Peterson returning to face the team that he has spent his entire career with, minus the one game he played last week. And the NFL schedule makers always have that sense of humor, right? I mean, Sam Darnold against the Jets in week one, Patrick Peterson against the Cardinals in week two. Wolf, a lot of, as you would imagine, reaction from his former teammates as they head into this game. We'll start with Kyler Murray. He was asked this week just about his relationship with Patrick Peterson, who was one of the veteran leaders in that locker room for the first 2 years of Kyler Murray's NFL career.
My first two years with him, you know, he was like, he was like a big brother, basically. You know, I pretty much, you know, he was one of the guys I was around his hip, you know, majority of the time asking questions, seeing how he did things, because, you know, he's been great pretty much his whole career. So, you know, I just tried to stick next to him and pick from his brain.
Isn't that cool right there? What's your number one takeaway when you hear Kyler Murray saying that?
I don't want to say extra motivation. I don't want to say that, but it is different. Going up against the guy he sees as his big brother, there's going to be different. It's going to be a little bit like you don't want to get intercepted by your big brother. And also, Patrick Peterson is going to have extra. We keep talking about from the Cardinals' perspective, he's going to have extra motivation coming into this game, even though he says he doesn't.
Yeah, one of the things I love about Kyler Murray right there, Kyler Murray deferred. He deferred to somebody else. That's what I loved. About hearing that cut right there. Obviously, he was a rookie, was a young guy, and then even his second year, now he's into his third year right here, but he deferred. He actually said, you know, there's a guy that I kind of respect. There's a guy that I'd like to learn from right there, and he went and did it, attached himself to his hip. I think that's very interesting that it was Pat P that he did that with.
Vance Joseph, who obviously was coaching Pat P the last couple of years, he was asked if Peterson still has it.
Pat can still play, yeah. I mean, and I hadn't watched him all summer, so I can't tell you that, but he can still play.
And he was asked if he's curious to see if Mike Zimmer's going to put Pat P on DeAndre Hopkins most of this weekend.
I won't see it, you know. I won't see it. Hopefully we have those 15-play series and I can get up and watch it, but I probably won't see it until the offseason, to be honest. But you know, obviously, again, guys, it's going to be an NFL game Sunday morning. It's two good football teams, and you know, we played well on Sunday, and the challenge for our team is to continue to improve every week and not have a letdown. You know, it's a good football team coming in here on Sunday morning, so we got to be at our best to win.
That is such a coach approach right there. It really is, right? It's not about one player. It's not about one matchup that's going to happen in this game. It's about the entire game. That is not an unexpected answer from Vance Joseph to come back to that. They want to ask about one player. They want to ask about one matchup. A coach so much of the time is going to defer to the body, not one piece of it.
One more from Vance Joseph. They asked him, look, you're pretty familiar with this guy. Did you go to the offense and say, hey, this is what he's going to try and do? Although I would think a lot of these guys, at least DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk in the passing game and Kyler Murray, are pretty familiar with Patrick Peterson.
No, not at all. I don't have time for it, you know. Obviously, Pat was a great player here for a long time, and his teammates here love him. And, you know, we'll see. You know, hopefully for both sides, you know, it's the next game, you know, and that's what it should be about. And that's the way I see it. It's the next game. You know, we wish Pat luck outside of this week, you know, and we'll move on.
Next game. There it is. Just another game. See, it's not about Pat. It's not about the matchup of Pat. It's the next game, Luke.
Vance Joseph sounds like he has work to do. And like that sounds like all these clips sound like the reporters are like knocking on his office door like, hey, do you have time to talk about Patrick Peterson?
That's such a good observation. That is it.
And he's like, I'm trying to design a way to stop Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. You keep asking me about a guy that isn't on our team anymore.
Right. I've got work to do here. Why are you asking me about this? Especially, oh my goodness, that is.
How did you get in here anyway?
That's what it sounds fantastic. Like.
Justin Pugh, another former teammate. They asked him if he's worried about going up against Pat P.
I mean, not for me. I mean, I mean, it's going to be weird having him back in this stadium, not wearing the Cardinals red, obviously. And another guy too, Mason Cole, that I was here with the whole time. So it's two guys, but obviously Pat in this area, how much he's done for this organization, it's definitely going to be weird for him. And that was kind of how it was for me going back to New York. So I know what Pat's going through. And you know, it's part of the business. Everyone learns the business one way or the other.
In a way, don't you think it's almost going to be more strange for the fans? Like, a lot of the guys that are on this Cardinals team played with him for a couple years. But, I mean, Peterson's was a Cardinal since 2011.
Yes.
And so Cardinals fans, remember Malcolm Butler was going to be number 21?
Yes.
Everybody's like, oh, I don't know if I can get used to that. That's Patrick Peterson's number. And
right.
The Cardinals jersey wearing number 21. I think for the fans at the game, it's going to be strange seeing him more so than a lot of the guys on the Cardinals team. Like, J.J. Watt never played with him. Rondale Moore, A.J. There's a lot of guys on this team that never even played with Patrick Peterson. And many did for like 2 years.
I would say the very reason why we're talking about this is for the fans.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the Red Sea can't wait for this game right here. And we were talking about it earlier, as a matter of fact, when this week started. What do we expect to see? What kind of greeting will Pat P. actually get at State Farm Stadium in front of the Red Sea? I don't know what it is. I would imagine they're going to stand and applaud. They're going to greet Pat P. warmly. Right?
I'm fascinated by it. I really am.
You're a little more, you're more skeptical.
I'm more skeptical, yeah. Just having done the post-game show the last couple years and having been on Twitter enough, and even when Peterson ended up going to Minnesota, a lot of people were like, good, get him out of here.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I told you earlier in the week, I think in Patrick Peterson, whenever he comes back to be inducted into the Ring of Honor, whatever that is, 5, 6, 7 years from now, I think he will get a great ovation at that point because longtime Cardinals fans will appreciate everything he did from what? What should we say? From 2011 to early 2018?
Yeah, pretty much. Going out there and going to the Pro Bowl every year is his first 8, 9 years in the league. Listen, there's no doubt about it. Pat P., I think, is going to be in the Ring of Honor at some point in time. But once again, that's not up to me. The great thing about a Ring of Honor is it is the organization's choice. It is their award, so to speak. It is their honor that they pass out to players. And because of it, it's from their perspective. It's from nobody else's perspective. It's not like going into the Hall of Fame. It isn't. That's something completely different. Everybody weighs in on that. Somebody that is a Hall of Fame player. Everybody. It's from multiple perspectives. But the Ring of Honor, that's an organization's perspective.
The reality is, though, I mean, for a good chunk of time, when you played the Cardinals, you could not even throw to wherever he was on the field. The opposing teams just wouldn't even throw.
Absolutely right.
And so that doesn't fully show up in the stats. But any Cardinals fan from 2011 to 2017 will tell you he was one of the very best they have ever seen.
He was one of the least targeted cornerbacks in the game. That's not going to be the case on Sunday.
No, they're going to go right after him. They should.
You know, again, it depends who they're trying to match him up against. I would imagine, once again, Mike Zimmer, is he going to ghost or is he going to shadow DeAndre Hopkins with Pat P? That is my biggest question going in from the Minnesota Vikings defensive perspective. Are they going to shadow him or not? Because Mike Zimmer is known as a wild card. You never know what you're going to get with Mike Zimmer. This is one of the things we've been talking about all week long. One of the themes. It's going to be a matchup between Kyler Murray's brain and Mike Zimmer and what Mike Zimmer is going to show Kyler Murray. And the one thing you can be sure of, you're not going to get a steady diet of anything. So that's a question to me. Is he going to do the obvious and put Pat P, knowing Pat P is his best cover corner, on DeAndre Hopkins? That's an obvious thing to do, or with Mike Zimmer, maybe not so obvious.
Coming up, who are the key players for both teams Sunday when the Cardinals take the field against the Vikings? Fulcrum Football is next. It is the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.